man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Jeff Fiegels, John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour talking New York Giants football. Hope everybody had a fantastic Labor Day weekend. We're celebrating Labor Day by working, which I suppose would be
weekend's
the proper
not over yet. The
to
long
celebrate
weekend.
Labor Day. That is correct. A lot of stuff to talk about today, folks. Giants final 53-man roster. We can look ahead to Dallas. We can do anything else you want to do. We're taking your calls at 201-939-4513. And, Fees, I guess we should start with the roster move the Giants made today. After being here only for about a week, the Giants decided to let go of Stevie Brown, and they brought back another former Giant, this one dating back to Steve Spagnuolo, and one of, five or six guys that are still in the league from when you played back in the day?
Probably, but
Craig Dahl?
I walked in. Seriously, this is a true story. I walked into the facility today, and there was Craig Dahl. And I said, I was like, whoa, this is weird. Am I supposed to walk to my locker now and get dressed for practice? Like, what is Craig Dahl doing here? And I said to him, I said, so what's going on, man? Are you in here for a workout? He goes, no, it's done. I'm signed. And then I instantly thought, another safety we just signed. So, and I didn't know that they had released Stevie Brown. So evidently the reason we kind of figured it out that Craig Dahl, being with Spags as many years as he has been, he knows the system. He can make some calls back there. So that's probably the reason why he's here. But, yeah, weird day here at the facility when you think about it, John. You know, it's a tough time because these guys that make the 53-man roster, they come to work the next day and some of them are, you know, gone. And I do remember this being one of those days where you come into the facility and you're always looking out of the corner of your eye like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Or, you know, why is he here? And because it's very, you know, it's very nerve-wracking for the next couple of days. And, I mean, even into next week when the veterans can now be reintroduced to the football teams around the league and not have to pay them their full salary if they get on the roster. So the first 2 weeks of the season are pretty scary when it comes to if you're a player. And understand now, listen, if you're Eli Manning or someone of that stature, it's not so nerve-wracking. But a lot of these guys that are middle to the back end of the roster, it becomes very, very nerve-wracking coming into the facility. And you have to keep your focus if you're a player. You have to understand, listen, I'm here now, and I should do what I'm supposed to do, and that's get prepared for the Cowboys game coming up this Sunday night.
No question about it. Again, 201-939-4513. And Jeff, when you look at the final 53-man roster, it seems like the Giants decided to go with a little bit of a youth movement this year. They decided to let go a couple of guys that were considered reliable veterans, and I'll go through the list very quickly. Steve Weatherford, Henry Hanoski, Jameel McClain, Kenrick Ellis. We mentioned Stevie Brown. These are all guys that fans saw as, you know, I'm not going to call them cornerstone players, but guys that were reliable veterans that were there if you need them. So the Giants instead go with a guy like Wing, who they bring in a trade. They pick up Lewis Nix, who was a busted-out third-round pick from Houston just back in 2014. Yeah. That's very quick giving up on a third-round draft pick, just one full season and then one offseason. You take a look at Wanyunga, the 27-year-old rookie who they decided to hold on to.
Who was out of football last year.
And then Nikita Whitlock. They keep Jeremy Davis over a guy like James Jones. So the Giants deciding that youth is where you want to go this year instead of having some of the veterans in the locker room.
Okay, so those guys that you mentioned, I mean, Unga, you know, he played a lot during the preseason at middle linebacker with the health of Beeson, things like that. We don't know where he's going to fit into the mix. But the bottom line on all these guys, John, is, it's a youth movement. You look at a guy like Whitlock, who, by the way, I'll give you some kudos on our pregame show the other day.
Who called it?
John said about Whitlock, don't be surprised. And, he wins the lottery on that one. But it all comes down to that special teams.
Lottery? It wasn't that much luck.
It wasn't. Well, okay. But, you know,
it was an informed opinion.
It was, okay. That's fine. But my point is that in this offense for the Giants, before when Gilbride was here, the fullback was a little bit more predominant in this offense, but not now. You got those tight ends that can line up in the backfield. And so the fullback position, and it came down to Whitlock can do more. He can play on those four core special teams units, and he can play defense, as we saw. I don't think we'll see a lot of him doing that, but the fact is he can do a lot, and a lot more than Henry Hanoski could have done at a cheaper cost. And then you look at what you talked about with Steve Weatherford, and now the new guy wing, Brad Wing. Listen, the youth movement's there, but these guys still have to perform. They're always being evaluated, and they can easily, as easy as they got put on this team, they can easily be put off this team if they're not performing. But in a grand scheme of things, the league is built on young players, and potentially these guys could become stars, but right now they've earned their way onto the roster as of today, because like we just said, going forward, it's a little bit sketchy here for the next couple weeks. But congratulations to all those guys, Jeremy Davis, who we thought – I think we all thought had a great preseason, and it ended up working for him. And he's got to be proud of himself coming in here as a draft pick. We know that the Giants love their draft picks because they do their research. They put a lot of time into drafting these guys. They want them to make the team.
Now, of course, a couple other things of note. We should also mention Jerome Cunningham making a team over Adrian Robinson, someone who would this would have been his fourth season with the Giants. The Giants decided to move on from Adrian, and they go to Jerome Cunningham, someone that we know can catch the football, Jeff.
Sure.
But at just 240 pounds, the blocking is the thing that he's going to have to work on.
Yeah, and I don't think they're so much relying on him to be a blocker. I think they like to put him in situations where he can catch the football, whether it's in he puts in the slot position, he can play outside. We saw him make a great catch the other night against the Patriots. So he can catch the football, and all of those tight ends can get better at blocking, but you know Fells and Larry Donnell are going to be your primary two guys when they're going to have two tights and going in there and blocking.
And then defensively, I thought not bringing Ellis back in here after, you know, signing him over from the Jets this offseason, obviously it wasn't a, you know, huge money dollar contract,
sure.
So it's not like it's a cap hit or anything like that, but you know, that's a guy that I think people thought would be on the roster. Why do you think the Giants decided to move on from him?
Well, I think they like what Marcus Kuhn can do. I mean, I think all of us would probably agree that he didn't have the greatest preseason in the world.
He didn't have a lot of production in the games.
But I think the team likes him. They like his strength and his size. And then, of course, this guy that the guy they picked up from, you know, they're maybe trying to get an idea. This is a young guy. He just got drafted in 2014, was it? Is that what you said?
Yep.
I mean, third-round guy.
And
so
remember, he was at Notre Dame, too, where the Giants are very familiar. Tim McDonald, who's now on the pro personnel staff, he was with Notre Dame for a long time.
Exactly. So they're kind of betting on the come on this one, where this guy can become a better player. And Kendrick Ellis obviously has some years on him. He's not an old player, but certainly the salaries come into effect in a lot of these decisions, John, because – when you talk about a salary cap and those five or six players we just mentioned collectively, that's a lot of money that the Giants are saving under the salary cap.
I will say this. The only name that really surprised me, and all the guys, and I wrote this on the article we had on Giants.com on Saturday, the only guy that really took me by surprise was McClain.
Sure.
Everyone else was on my radar. I thought Nikita Whitlock could be out of Hanoski. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I foresaw a scenario in which James Jones didn't make the team.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kendrick Ellis also surprised me, but McClain was really the guy that stuck up on me because considering, you know, John Beeson's injury history, I thought
yes.
They would want an experienced backup middle linebacker. But then the more I thought about it, and I wrote this as well, not only Juana Younga is here, but JT Thomas started half a season middle linebacker last year.
Right.
So that's another veteran backup in addition to Mark Herzlich. But I think JT Thomas probably gives him some level of comfort as a guy that can play the middle. And Devon Kennard's a guy that when he was at USC, he played in the middle. So
right.
I think you have a number of guys there that can step in if something happens to Beeson where he can't play in a few
games. As you dissect it like you just did, it kind of starts to make a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that and, you know, there's always the propensity for these guys that have injuries going forward, especially a neck injury like McClain, you never know what can happen in that situation. And certainly being a veteran, a vested veteran, if he's on the 53-man roster and 2 weeks from now he did happen to get an injury, they would have to pay him his full salary. I think that sometimes comes into effect, but more importantly, I look at the way you just broke it down. It makes more sense to me knowing that a lot of those other guys can fill in at that middle linebacker position if John Beeson can't go, at least for the first week of the season. You know, and he was out there, you know, out there today, and you know, hopefully he can suit up against the Cowboys this weekend because they need him.
And any cap space you have, by the way, can be carried into next season. So any cap savings
sure,
the Giants
slide,
might make
yeah.
now, maybe they're not going to use it in the next week or so, but that can slide in to 2016 as well. All right, 201-939-4513. Let's get to the calls. We'll take them all show long. Let's go to Emilio. He's up first. Emilio, what's going on?
What's up, Emilio?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to thank Jeff. You know, thank you for that third ring, you know, and all your clutch kicks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Contributed to it.
I appreciate that. I enjoyed it immensely.
I appreciate it, too, so I just wanted to say that. Thank you. Getting to my question here, you know, I'm not – initially I was a little I didn't understand letting Ellis go and now Stevie Brown as well. But I'm not going to question their decisions, you know. But my question is this. I don't have any doubts about the offense, but do you think our defense can come together in time for that Cowboys game?
Well, I think that's the real trick, to be honest with you, Emilio.
And listen, we can only go on what we've seen. And what we've seen has not been great. But there's got to be, you know, I was saying before we came on the air today is that, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to see now there's some game planning going into the games where in preseason there is none, you know. So, and maybe this will give us a little indication of what this defense can be now that they're game planning against the Cowboys. But I think that it's going to be slow going here. It's a new system. You got guys playing that have not played along each other only for four games, and so it's just a matter of time. And I think it's very difficult for anyone to predict how this defense is going to be. I'm with you on the offense. I think that the offense is going to be fine. Collectively, they've got a heck of a group over there. If they can solidify the offensive line, especially that right side, as we've all been talking about. But, you know, you look at the Cowboys last year, and they didn't have a very good defense, and they just had to put up a bunch of points to stay in a game. This offense has the capabilities of doing that, so we'll see what happens.
And, Emilio, I want to harken back a little bit to Spags' first run here back in 2007, where there was a lot of talent, especially up front defensively. That group still took a few weeks to come together. They gave up more than 70 points the first 2 weeks of that year, and then, frankly, didn't play well in the first half against Washington in game number three. So it almost took 2.5 games for that defense to figure things out. So, you know, I'm not going to come out and tell you that, you know, the team's getting lit up in the first week, but I will say this. I think there are going to be some growing pains here where it might take some time for a lot of these new pieces to fit together the way you want them to.
And one last question. What do you think the possibility of getting Cam Chancellor? Do you think we're cutting guys to make room to give him that money? Because we're going to have to pay him a lot of money if we get him.
Well, look, the Giants obviously do not comment on players on other teams. And, Emilio, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. So, well, we can't do that either. But I will say this. Cam Chancellor is an excellent football player.
Amazing football player.
The Seattle Seahawks signed him to a long-term deal on purpose. They want him on their team. So if any team in the National Football League would to acquire Cam Chancellor, it would require not only a contract to make Cam Chancellor happy, which, as you mentioned, would be an awful lot of money, it would require, imagine, not just one high draft pick, maybe even a second high draft pick. So the price is going to be very, very high. If the Seahawks even want to trade the young man, which, quite frankly, I very much doubt. I think Cam Chancellor is eventually going to show up here and he's going to play for the Seahawks this year because he signed the contract and eventually he's going to want to get paid some money. He's going to honor the deal.
Yeah, and they can fine him for not being here too on top of the money he's going to be losing. And you're right, John. I mean, it's going to take a lot for him, for any team to sign him. You would be crazy that if they were offering him up for, you know, a team that needs safeties – not to inquire about it, but
you'd be,
you know,
foolish not to make a
absolutely
phone call.
So, but we don't know what's going on there. We don't know enough about football and personnel stuff to be able to make those types of decisions in this room right here.
But look, but the bottom line is that reports are reports, and it's fun fodder. Yeah. But in the realistic world of the NFL, you don't see players like Cam Chancellor traded very often, especially not this time of year.
Yeah.
It simply does not happen that often. There's a lot of moving parts, and
be fun
I think
to talk
that's
about.
We have to leave it. Exactly. 201-939-4513. Steven in Washington, D.C. Steven, what's going on, pal?
What's up, Steven?
What's going on, John?
Steve! What's up, buddy?
It's a pleasure to speak to you. I appreciate everything you've done for my G, man.
It's good to hear from you, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Listen, I was going to say this to last because I know what y'all are going to say, but, man, we got it wrong, man. We got it wrong. Ain't no way in the world Coon should be here before Ellis, man. Every fan in the world can see that. I don't care. I know y'all not going to speak on that, man, but let me tell you something. That really made me question whether we really want to win, and I know better than that. But let me tell you, I don't like that. It was not a football decision. It just wasn't.
No, but Steve, real quick on that, and then I'll let you finish. In terms of the Ellis and Coon thing, why would it be anything but a football decision? I mean, it's not like either guy's making a lot of money. I mean, it's not like Marcus Coon was a first-round draft pick or anything like that. I just don't see how it would be anything besides a football decision. And if you want to disagree which player is better, that's fine. And you, as a fan, you have every right to do that. That's great. And you can happily voice your opinion here. We're happy to listen to it.
That's
to me,
point.
That's a football
that's
decision.
I'm not going to speculate on it, John. I mean, obviously, I don't know. But when I see a player so much better than another player, you just scratch your head like, you know, you just say, what in the world is this? What is this? That's all. I'm not going to speculate. I didn't call to be argumentative.
No, it's all good,
Steve. I just wanted
to
make a profound statement because I thought that was a profoundly wrong move. That's
okay.
All I wanted to say.
Gotcha. No problem. So, what else you got for me, Steve?
Without speculation, I just want to, you know, of course, I was all excited, like, Cam, man. I keep watching Twitter and everything else, man. And, you know, wow. Can I just say what I would be okay with if I were GM?
Sure, go ahead.
I'll try to be quick. You know, I mean, listen, obviously, you already know you don't have to give up a one.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Third. I don't know, but I'll say a one this year and maybe a third next year. You know, not consecutive. Obviously, we got to have a draft. But, I mean, I just hope that we went after McCourty. I hope we go all in on him because we know we good and well. We need to pick. It's 9-1-1. And that's going to my other point, it's obviously the defense, you know, which is our biggest concern. And, you know, I'm not happy with the backup positions behind Beeson, and I'm not comfortable with Beeson. So, I'm just hoping you see us going after any free agent linebackers. If so, who's out there? Because we definitely need to be looking for a real true backup and probably a replacement for Beeson. I don't want to be moving Kennard and everybody else around. I don't think J.T. Thomas and company are the right answers. I mean, I love what I see out of Unga, but he's a young player. I want, you know, a little bit more established player in there.
Well, Steve, I'll say this. Steve, if the Giants wanted an established backup linebacker, they would have kept Jameel McClain. That guy was on the roster. So I think the guys on this roster right now at linebacker are going to be the guys that roll out there in week one against Dallas. I don't think anybody new is coming through the door in the next couple of days.
I take that, John. I take that. You know, I mean, doesn't make me happy at all, but I guess you're right. It is what it is.
Well, let's let these young guys play a little bit. Let's see how good they can be. You know, I mean, it's not crazy to say that some of these young guys can turn into really good players. Look at the dude from San Francisco last year that just retired.
Borland.
I mean, that guy comes from. I mean, nobody knew about him. Next thing you know, the guy's amazing. So you never know about these young guys, but we got to give it a little bit of time.
Guys, I'm going to wrap it up real quick.
Thank you.
Say this, and guys, let me ask you this. If you could touch on, where JPP is with his health, and I just want to say this. You know, I really want to see us play as many players on offense as we possibly can and not really rely on the starters. I think it's important not only for the health of, you know, of the starters, keeping them fresh, but I think it keeps morale at its highest, you know, when more players are playing. So I really hope that we start to change the culture of the team a little bit, because I think we'll see more camaraderie on the sideline. Everybody needs to get involved before it's a 9-1-1 situation and they haven't been prepared, you know, and it keeps everybody involved. So that's all I got, man. I appreciate your comments on JPP. You guys have a good one.
Great to hear from you, Steve. And Tom Coughlin did speak to the media. He did mention Jason Pierre-Paul. He basically said he doesn't know much about it. He knows that he's coming in today. And somebody said, well, you're ruling him out for Dallas. And I'll just quote Coach here, or I'll at least paraphrase Coach from what he said. Basically, that I'm not going to rule him out against Dallas, because what if he shows up, the doctors look at his hands, he's in great shape, and he's good to go.
And
that's possible.
He signed his contract, and he's going to play.
But, and these are my words now, do you know what else is possible? He comes in, the doctors look at him, oh, crap,
he's not going to play.
6 to 8 weeks away.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Guys, quite frankly, I've been telling this for 3 months. I wish I had more information, but the Giants don't have more information right now.
And maybe today, maybe today's the day.
I'm hoping this is the last time I have to say that.
Because
I'm hoping after today, if the Giants can get a look at him, see what see what's wrong with the hand,
right.
See how long it's take for him to get back, and then I'll actually be able to give you an answer when Lance and I host tomorrow afternoon. I cannot wait for that to be the case, because I've been telling you I don't know for 3 months, and right now I still don't know. But hopefully, once the Giants get a look at him today, we'll have a much better idea of what his prognosis is going to be and when he's going to be back on the field. But again, Tom wouldn't rule him out for Sunday, because if his hand is somehow miraculously recovered and he's in great football shape, you're going to roll him right out there for 20 snaps.
That would be a miracle in my mind. But listen, all the Giants fans have waited for this day.
Yeah.
We've waited for the day that JPP is going to be coming in to see the Giants. So, you know, that's all we can talk about, and we don't know anything more. But, you know, Steve was making a point about, you know, the guys shuffling in on offense. you know, to keep them fresh. I think that that running back position will have that. I think you're going to see a trio of those running guys, the, you know, with Vereen and Jennings and Andre. I think they'll all be able to get their share of carries in there. And the wide receivers, you know, they're going to be fresh. They're going to be moved in, and but you got to go with your starters and let those guys play because they deserve to be playing on the football field.
Absolutely right. And again, we'll see what happens to JPP. It's a matter of time, and hopefully we'll have more information by the end of the day. But if you want to call up and speculate, that's great. But until we know more information, there's really nothing more we can give you on that front. But that, no.
I tell you what, tune in tomorrow. You'll get more information out of that one.
And Tom Coughlin did say today, by the way, that the team needs a healthy and productive JPP, which is not breaking any news here. Everyone knows that. So Tom did say that earlier today. But, again, hopefully by the end of the day we'll have some more news on what the deal with him is. He was not in the locker room, shockingly, when the media was in there. So I'm not even sure if he's in the building yet, to be honest with you. So we'll see. 201-939-4513. Tom in Virginia has been holding the longest. Tom, what's going on, pal?
Well, you just answered my question. I wanted to talk about JPP a little bit, but you answered it, and you know, I agree that we need that strength at the end and that rush off the end, and hopefully DeAndre Moore on the other side will be able to give us some pressure, because that's going to be the problem this year. Is going to be the pressure from the front four. And then the back end, of course. But if we can get pressure on the front end and the back end doesn't become as much of a problem. And I mean the back end with the safety position.
Right.
So. That's pretty much with every team when you think about it. But you know, when you got a team, when you got a guy missing like JPP.
Because we don't have any safety.
And don't discount Robert Ayers either. I mean,
he was back on the practice field.
I have a feeling we're going to see a big year out of him. I really do. And DeMontre Moore, we all know what he can do as long as he can get his head screwed on straight and not make stupid mistakes. Just sometimes just you scratch your head. You really do. I mean, the first personal foul penalty he had against the Patriots, the guy threw the ball, and like 10 minutes later, he hit him in the back. It was crazy.
Hey, you know, that's right. The head screwed on is the important thing.
I'll tell you
he
what.
He certainly has the physical.
No question.
He has the physical tools to be able to play it. But, you know, the head is the thing that gets more people in trouble than anything.
You got it.
Absolutely. He also has to get better against the run, too.
Yes. Well, they all do.
Well, yeah, everybody's got to get better against the run. But, again, here's the thing. Spags, we know Spags. Well, I remember Spags from back when. His front four was rushing like crazy, and the linebackers were playing the run. I mean, that's the way I remember it. Maybe I'm wrong, but the front four went rush hard, and the linebackers picked up the run in their position, because you didn't see a whole lot of blitzes coming out of him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but Tom, the great thing about the defensive line in 2007, though, Michael Strahan.
Oh, yeah.
Two-way player. He rushed the quarterback and stopped the run. Same for Justin Tuck.
Yeah.
Same for Barry Colfield. Same for Fred Robbins.
Yeah.
Pretty good group of guys.
There was a hell of a in those days. There was a hell of a defensive line. That was just
absolutely
great. So
thanks,
anyway,
Tom.
Guys, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Appreciate it, man. And I think if you want to, you know, carve out a role for more. To me, and I don't know why people don't make this comparison more, just in terms of physical skill set, DeMontre Moore is the physical skill set of Osi. They're the same guy. They're built similarly. They're not the thickest guys in the world. They're strong, but they're not, you know, super stout guys. They both rush the passer. Osi was never the best run defender. DeMontre Moore is never going to be Reggie White stopping the run either, which is fine. But you can figure out a way to use him as long as, you said, Jeff, he stops making those stupid mistakes that can kill a team.
He's like that kid. You know, I have four. Of those, you tell them to do something, and they do it once, and then the next thing you know, they just done. They never learned their lesson. It's like, come on! I mean, three personal fouls in that game. Now I'll give him the third one. He got pushed into the guy, but you could tell he was like, "Oh, I got pushed, but now I can give him the elbow." You remember that play? It was just like, I mean, but he can be a good player. He's just going to – and hopefully some of that veteran leadership will help him. You know, Robert Ayers and those guys, and Jenkins, those guys can help him with this, because that's going to cost you a game. It's going to cost you a game one time. He's going to make one of those stupid plays towards the end of the game. And like last week, at the end of the game, the Patriots were driving. They get a personal foul. They push it down into the 5-yard line. The defense stopped them, but if Brady's in there, they're scoring there and they're losing the game. So,
no question. 201-939-4513. Full bank of calls. Lou in Texas. You're up next, Lou.
What's up, Lou?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Good. Lou?
Good. Down here in Cowboy Country, of course, it's all Cowboys all the time. But you know what? I want to go position by position on the skill side on the offense and tell people how much the Giants are better. So let's go through it one by one. Dez, ODB. You know what? You can call that a tie. I'm okay with that.
Sure.
Reuben Randall, Terrence Williams. I give that one to Reuben Randall. Terrence Williams looks to me like a flash in the pan.
It's close.
He goes deep. Okay, great. But need a possession receiver across from ODB.
Well, hold on. I wouldn't call Terrence. You want to give the edge to Reuben Randall. That's fine. But Terrence Williams is not a possession receiver. He's a big run after the catch guy.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Correct. That's my point. He's not. And that's something I think an offense needs. You know, when you have a dynamic like a Dez Bryant or an ODB, you need a possession guy too.
That's fair.
Then let's go Cole Beasley, Victor Cruz. A healthy Victor Cruz definitely gets the edge. Cole Beasley, I'll give him credit. The guy's a great slot receiver, but you know what? A healthy Cruz, there you definitely got the edge. And
absolutely.
This is one I kind of surprised myself on. Witten and Donnell. A couple years ago, even 2 years ago, Witten all the way, but you know what?
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on.
Donnell's more dynamic now, I think.
There is a blocking portion of the tight end position as well that you might want to take.
I love the optimism, though. I love it. But
now let's look at running back.
Okay.
We got four-headed monster with the Giants against a bunch of scrubs. I mean, I know a lot of it's the offensive line, but I would definitely take the Giants 4 over the Cowboys 4.
Okay. Just keep in mind, you basically have the same amount of Pro Bowl selections on both sides because none of the three Giants running backs have been Pro Bowlers. None of
and
the Cowboys
can't even name
running
the three
backs
Cowboy
have been
running backs.
Pro Bowlers either.
Yeah.
So I agree. I would rather have the Giants 3, no question All about right. it, but I don't think it's that as much of a difference as you might think it is. But now you're right. I don't think anybody – here's the thing. Lou, nobody doubts the Giants' ability at the skills positions. It's the other spots where I think it might sway the other way a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing I want to bring up is the defensive backs. We're talking Prince and DRC.
Sure.
I mean, these guys, I could see either of these guys being Pro Bowlers this year. I honestly can. I really
sure.
do. I mean,
absolutely.
I know we have concerns with the safety, but you know what? I think we got two lockdown corners.
We do. The Giants do. They're very good players. They're very good. No, nobody's ever questioning that. It's just when we start moving to the other positions, like John says, we have to start having a deep conversation about, you know, depth and who. When you're comparing the Giants' defensive line with the Cowboys' defensive line, their linebackers, it starts to get a little bit crazy. But
and you didn't mention the offensive lines either.
Well, I'm not going to mention the offensive line because that's a dead issue there. We know about that one. So
no, but Lou, look, you're absolutely right.
I'll definitely give him that one. That's for sure. Yeah.
No, but Lou, you're absolutely right. The Giants' skill position wise match up with any team in football, and the Giants' top two corners match up with any two teams in football. That you're absolutely right about. No question about it.
And there's really no reason. Okay, in my mind, I know how the Giants play the Cowboys. You know, maybe the Cowboys are looking a little ahead of the Giants because of what they've seen in preseason. But those Giant Cowboy matchups, they're great games. They go down to the wire, man.
And
so
weird things happen.
And weird things happen
guys,
in those
go
games.
Big blue.
You
Thanks,
got it.
Lou,
Thank you, buddy.
It. I
All
mean,
right,
I
Lou.
Think between Giants and Dallas, we saw a game where the Cowboys had, I think, 6 turnovers. Last year, the Giants had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
So we've seen some weird things. All right, I want to play a game with you right now. You love our game. So we're going to go over-under.
I love you.
There will be 75 total points scored on Sunday night between the Giants and Cowboys. Over or under?
I will go – that's a lot, but I'm going to go over.
Oh, see, I knew you thought you would. That's why I made a lot of points.
I really do.
I thought about going 80. Is it going to be over 80?
Ooh, that's a close one.
I don't think it's going to be
I think
over
it's 80. Between those two numbers.
I think
numbers.
It's going to be around 70, 75.
Yeah. And it's scary to think that it will because offensively the Giants haven't scored many points in the offseason. But the propensity Correct. For this to happen certainly can because both defenses in our minds are going to give up. And really, you look at the Cowboys did last year. That's how they won games. Well, this is Captain Obvious here. They scored more than the other guy, but it was a lot. But you know what I'm saying? It was a lot
Captain.
Of points. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean,
and their offense also held the ball and kept their defense
Well, because they're
the
running,
field.
Yeah. They had a
Absolutely.
Great running game. And with
but does
Murray,
that formula change now because DeMarco Murray's not there?
Well, I don't think they'll change question. It. I think they'll try to keep that formula. But, can, I mean, we're not – those
but
guys
–
they
work as well. That's the question.
No. I mean, and I think that I think we're in for a good game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout game this weekend coming up. I don't. I think it's going to be a classic rival NFC East matchup between the Cowboys and the Giants. It's going to be this classic game. And I got to give, in my mind, I give the edge to the Cowboys. They're at home. I feel like from the roster standpoint and what they did last year, they're a better football team than the Giants at this point. I hope they prove me wrong, but I think that it should be a good game.
You know what the funny thing is? And this kind of just popped in my head right now. The difference between the Giants and Cowboys now is kind of like the difference was between the Giants and the Cowboys back when you were on this team in like 07 and 06. You look at the Cowboys' skill positions, you're like, oh, Terrell Owens is really good, Romo's really good, Witten's really good.
Yeah.
But then when you got into the meat and potatoes of it, then it might have swayed the other way a little bit. And I think that's similar to the situation we have now, which is why it's so important for the Giants' offensive line to come together,
yep.
for the defense on to get pass pressure. Because if those units come together, the Giants are just as good as any other team in the league.
And if the Giants have their skill guys out there, and Cruz is going to play this weekend, if he does, man, I'll tell you what, there's no stopping this offense. And with a Larry Donnell, who he thinks better, Steve thinks is better than Jason Witten. Lou.
Yes, Lou.
Well, it must be tough for Lou being a Giants fan living down there.
That must be rough.
Wow.
That must be rough.
God bless that guy. You know, way to go. I mean, that's tough, but we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to the game. And more importantly, I'm looking forward to some good football because now we got the teams, we got the roster set, we got game planning coming on. It's going to be a good start of the 2015 season. And you know what? Tomorrow's show will be better, I'm telling you, because we'll have more information about JPP.
Well, we hope so. Any promises.
No,
that
I'm not.
Can't keep
I, but
Come
just
on.
I. Okay, I take that back. We're hoping that this show. There, how's that better?
That's,
okay,
that's much better. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we don't want to make any promises here because we really do. We really know nothing. By the way, with this JPP thing, we've heard he's going to be in here today. Nobody does.
No one knows besides Jason and his doctors.
You should see out front right now. I mean, every media facet in America is out there wanting every black sedan that pulls into the parking lot today is like, oh, is that him? Is that him? You know. So we'll find out soon enough.
Back to the phones. Ralph is in New Jersey. Ralph, what's up?
What's up, Ralph?
What's up, John? What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Ralph. Man. What's up, pal?
All right, I'm here to talk about the defense a little bit.
Yeah,
I just heard that Stevie Brown got released.
Yeah, the Giants decided to part ways with Stevie Brown. They brought back Craig Dahl, who played with the Giants with Steve Spagnuolo in 07, then played for Spags when he was head coach of the Rams.
Okay, do you guys know anything about his playmaking? I know he used to play for the 49ers.
Yep.
Well, I mean, he's one of those guys where, you know, a lot of the coaches, they would rather have a guy that knows the system and is smart than ability.
Line people up. And
this
is
Craig Dahl. He's
going to
be able – he's a really good special teams player, by the way, and better special teams player than Stevie Brown was. But more importantly, he knows Steve Spagnuolo's defense. He's going to be able to make some calls out there. We don't know if he'll be starting or what, but the fact is that he's familiar with the system. He's a good special teams player, and that's why he's here today.
And here's the thing, too. Just real quick, Ralph, on Stevie Brown. I mean, he was a guy that – you know, was never blessed with, you know, he wasn't a Dominique Rogers Cromartie level mm-hmm. athlete. He was a guy that, you know, made out on his smarts and his study and things like that. But then when you have a guy who's already not a super elite athlete, he tears his ACL. Then he has a Lisfranc issue. That sucks even some of that, more of the athleticism away. And then it's even harder to make up for some of those deficiencies with the mental side of the game. So I think Stevie Brown, the Giants just decided to move on. If he was here the entire offseason and knew this system inside and out,
I was just going to say that.
Maybe he would be on this team still right now.
I believe he would.
I think it's just too hard for him to learn the system in only a week. You know what I'm saying?
And even Coach Coughlin in his press conference this afternoon after practice had said if we just would have had a little bit more time with Stevie here, and that pretty much tells you why they had to let him go. They just didn't have enough time for him to learn the system. And you get a guy like Craig Dahl where he's played – under Steve Spagnuolo's, he started all 16 games in 2012 for Coach Spagnuolo, so he knows the system.
That's good. And my other thing is I like the way the team is moving into a new direction with the new younger players. Like, we let go of veterans and we keep the younger players. With that said, I was thinking Jamil McClain got released. Mm-hmm. I like the new Onga guy. Is he a rookie?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, is he supposed to be the replacement or is he going to start? I don't know what the deal is with that.
Well, I think he's there just for – I think he's a backup right now to John Beeson in that middle linebacker position. But, you know, we don't know the health of John Beeson. Is he going to start this week or not? So I think – but, you know, ultimately, if John cannot play, then he's the next guy up in there.
Oh, all right. Well, good luck to everything, guys. Thank you.
Hey,
appreciate it. Thank
Ralph.
You.
I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Kevin in Pennsylvania is up next. Kevin, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Kev.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, I'm just wondering what you guys think of the leadership on the team, and especially on the defensive side. I mean, I think on the offense we have Beckham, and, you know, in actuality, I think they're trying to kind of quiet him down a little bit, which I think is not a good idea. But anyway, I was just wondering about the defense. I mean, we have a lot of young guys, and, you know, we really don't have no vocal guys, the guys that bring that energy to the field. I mean, I know we have Deason, but, you know, he's been injury prone, so... You know, I'm just curious to think what you guys have seen in training camp and preseason. Who is Ahmad Bradshaw type of guys, straight hand guys that can bring that energy to the sidelines during the games?
You know who I really liked and has stepped up as a leader, and I'd like to see if Jeff agrees or if he has somebody else on in mind. But the guy I really like on the defensive line that stepped up and been a real leader, I think, is Robert Ayers. He's been a real adult in the room. He's not like your rah-rah type of guy, but he takes everything very seriously. He's intelligent. He talks to the other guys in that room very seriously about the game. His work ethic is off the charts. I think Robert Ayers has really taken on a leadership role in that defensive line. I think the secondary is a better question.
Well, going front to back, Robert Ayers, Colin Jenkins.
And Colin Jenkins, too,
those
obviously.
Are your two guys. Yeah. In the linebacking position is certainly John Beeson.
And too, JT Thomas has the personality to be a leader, too. Very
absolutely.
Smart guy.
And then, but, yeah, the secondary, you know, the safety position, I don't know who's going to be the leader out there, but when you look at the two cornerbacks,
Prince, right?
You know, Prince and DRC.
But DRC's not a vocal guy.
No, he's not. He's more of a lead by example guy. And Prince is wanting to be that kind of guy, but I think that he's just, you know, he's more like, I got to lead by example. And if I have to say things here and there.
Well,
but,
you know, it's funny, Kevin, actually, Prince was asked that question, back in the spring. And he said, you know what, I kind of want to be a leader, but until I really go out there and play a full 16-game season and I stay healthy, I don't feel comfortable.
Well, good
doing
for
it.
Him. Because that's,
which I think is fair.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? That's a goal he needs to set. He wants to set in his mind, and we all hope that he can do that. But I'd rather see a guy, you know, lead by example than lead by his mouth, because certainly I think that is more important to the bottom line, and that's winning. The safety position, I think that Landon Collins is going to have to, you know, kind of assert himself a little bit back there, because the safety is going to have to be a leader. I mean, he's making calls and stuff like that, and just because you're a rookie. Doesn't mean you can't be that guy. You're going to almost have to be a force-fed of becoming a leader back there, and we hope that he could do it.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, like you guys said, I mean, that's great points, and I'm just hoping to see, you know, for example, if we're down in Dallas, you know, hopefully not, but if we're down, you know, I want to see who's that one guy on the sidelines
sure.
that stands out that's trying to get the team, you know, excited and back into the game. So that's what I'm hoping. We have a few of those guys on defense, because I know Beckham is that guy, and I'm glad we have him, and Victor Cruz, hopefully he'll stay healthy. So,
thanks, man.
Hey, you know, you look at too, from that standpoint, John, the offensive line. I mean, I think Justin Pugh is that guy now.
I think
now.
Pugh's the leader, no question.
And
Weston Richburg is right behind him in that department,
absolutely.
Too.
So, you know, those guys have to keep them together, and the more they play along, you know, the side of each other, it's going to be better camaraderie for them. Those guys just have to get reps together. I mean, once they get this line down and who's going to be there at right guard and –
How do you think that's going to shake out, by the way? You think it's going to be
Newhouse? I think it's going to be Schwartz. I do.
And Newhouse at tackle. I agree. I think that's what will settle it.
Yeah, and I think that because they platooned him a lot during preseason, they're just showing you that if something did happen, that Schwartz could move outside. And then, you know, John Jerry could get in there. And you got to add, you know, Geddes is on the practice squad now. But,
correct.
I think that right side is pretty interchangeable. But I think consistently, I think they're going to go with Schwartz at right guard and Newhouse at right tackle.
You know, it's funny he mentioned maybe Beckham's the guy that'll get you excited. I don't know if I see him as a team leader on offense, though. I mean, he's
I think Cruz is that
player.
Guy. I think Cruz is.
And Eli, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. But I think Cruz is more the emotional guy to get, you know, his group of guys going. I think he's the guy. And he's the leader there. He certainly can be that type of leader, both on and off the field. But if I had to vote on that, I would give it to Victor Cruz over Beckham, definitely.
201-939-4513. All the way out in San Diego is Alberto. Alberto, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Alberto.
All right. Hey, I just had a couple questions. So my first one is, I saw, you know, the wide receiver core looking pretty decent, pretty good, I think. I know they released Corey Washington. Is he eligible for the practice squad?
Now, what happened with Corey Washington, and this is a kind of an inside the transaction world of the NFL type of thing, he was what you call waived injured. He injured his shoulder, I think it was the final practice, actually, before that last
preseason
game, making a diving one-handed catch, believe it or not. And when you're waived injured, what happened is that you get put basically, as long as nobody else claims you when you go through waivers, which nobody did, you'll get put on injured reserve. So he got put on injured reserve for the Giants. And then I believe I saw a report from somebody earlier today where once you get waived and put on injured reserve, you can come to an injury settlement mm-hmm. with the team. And once you reach that injury settlement, you become a free agent and you're free to sign with another team. Now here's the trick. Once you reach an injury settlement, there's a period of time, and I think it's 2 months, where you cannot re-sign with the team
that
waived
you.
Right. That settled with you. So Corey will not be back with the Giants in the short term. In the long term, could he make a return back here? Absolutely, but not in the next month or two.
Okay, I think I read the same report, and I was pretty confused on that.
Well, everybody would, because it is
me.
Crazy, yeah.
It is not simple,
and
man.
And you kind of wonder, how do they come up with this stuff?
I don't
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's crazy, yeah. But, you know, he just he was caught up in the numbers, and I think that
– And I think Jeremy Davis –
Jeremy Davis outplayed him, and it really hurt him not playing in that last game. I really believe that kind of sealed his fate when he got hurt, so –
Well, a good thing for us, Jeremy Davis looked pretty good in the preseason. Hopefully he gets some time in the season and,
yeah.
and proves what he can do.
He's so, a good kid.
Hey,
my next question,
guys, is Beedy. My everything I've read, he's eligible to come back on week six or after week six. You guys correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so Eric Flowers has looked pretty good at left tackle so far. Hopefully he keeps it up. What do you guys expect? If Eric Flowers continues his good play at left tackle throughout the season, is Will Beattie, you know, has he played right tackle in the past? Or do you guys see that happening at all?
He did in college. He played both. He played all. He was kind of all around. But
it's a great question.
It's a good question. And my answer to that would be, and this is just my answer only. It's all it is. I feel like if Flowers is doing well and he's a rookie over there, you leave him there. I think Beattie could go to the right side and play right tackle.
So you
if that's
think
the case.
Beattie could make that transition to right tackle a lot easier than Flowers?
I do.
Now here's the trick, though, and I think it's a great question, Alberto. Beattie now, when you have a pec injury, you can't really lift because you're rehabbing your pec.
Well, yeah, that's tough.
The only way you can bench press is if you use your pec muscle. Obviously,
right.
If you're recovering from a pec injury, you can't lift.
You're doing nothing pec oriented.
Right. So your upper body
you're
strength.
You're not pecking.
So your upper body strength is going to be limited, right?
Sure.
What do you want out of your right tackle? You
strength.
Want it to be a power blocker in the run game. So can Beattie fit into that role at right tackle coming off of a pec injury, especially changing positions? He hasn't played right tackle since his very early college days, which is now almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
So I think that would be – let me put it this way. Alberto, if the Giants get to the point where they say, boy, Eric Flowers looks like a great left tackle and Will Beattie's back from injury, that's a great problem to have. I think the Giants will be happy to make that tough decision, but it's going to be a tough decision because of the reasons I just mentioned. I don't think there's an easy mix-and-match solution right there.
Real quickly, my justification for that is the fact that I just want it to be simple for the rookie. I want him to, rather than moving the positions,
sense.
Maybe next year, then you transition him over there. But, you know, the middle of the season, having this guy who just played left tackle your whole preseason and the half of the regular season.
He did,
now
by the way,
him.
Play right tackle his freshman year in college.
He did.
FYI.
So, and I just want to make things simple on the young man. You know, where Beattie's a veteran, I think he would be a little more acceptable over on the right side. And we don't know how Robert Newhouse is going to play, you know. So it's all up in the air. But we just got to get, you know, Beattie's got to get healthy. And like John said, he's got to get his strength back. So we'll see what happens. And actually, I think he's eligible to come back after week six. But I think the Giants have their bye the following week.
No, they have Dallas in week
is
seven.
Is Dallas in week seven? Okay.
Yeah, the Giants have a late bye week.
Oh, they have
week.
A wait. Okay, so there you go. So he'll be back in after the sixth week. Yep, PUP return rule, another stupid rule that we got.
So. You got anything else for us, Alberto?
So my last thing is I saw Justin Pugh. I'm not sure if I was the only one to notice, but it seemed like he had his struggles at guard on a couple of the games there. Is he strictly practicing at guard? Is he shuffling in at tackle anymore?
At this point, he's strictly a guard. He did swing out the tackle the early part of camp after Flowers had that hip flex injury, but he's been primarily a guard. I thought he played well at guard the first two games of the preseason. I thought he had some issues against the Jets at that left guard spot. But, yeah, right now I think they plan on using him at guard, period, barring any other injuries that might force him to move some guys around.
Yep.
All right, cool. I mean, the Jets do have a tough front line.
Yep.
So We'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Hopefully he keeps it up. All right, I appreciate you guys' time. Go Big Blue.
Thanks, Omar.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Kashawn is down in Maryland. What's up, Kashawn?
Hi, Jeff. Hi, John. Hi, Jeff.
We're great.
Hi,
how are you?
Good, good. Okay, a few things. You know, sometimes the internet and the media and the app is too much. I almost wish I didn't see those articles about Jerry Reese inquiring about Cam Chancellor, because now my hopes have gotten all, you know, risen up and everything. And then when I saw the cuts on Friday when McClain and Steve Weatherford, I'm like, oh, my God, he's making room, he's making room. And so I know you guys are not at liberty to really discuss, but, man, oh, man, if we get Cam Chancellor.
Well, Kashawn, let me say this. If it was just a matter of money, the decision would be really, really easy.
Right.
But it's not just about money. That's the trick.
Right. It's draft picks. It's everything. Yeah. It's a tough scenario. And you know what? The Giants aren't the only team that would be inquiring about his services.
No, there'd be about 31 other teams that would like him, actually.
I know, right?
So what, right. And what comes with that is...
I agree. I don't think we should give the whole entire future
for him. We're going to do a Mike Ditka here and give you your whole draft to get one guy.
right. but I am going to closely monitor that situation. The second thing, again, I think the success of this team is going to be predicated on the success of the offense. I'm hoping that our defense can be somewhat like Dallas defense was, like a bend but don't break, because I know we have a lot of question marks on the defense. But my main concern was when Colin Jenkins made that statement about the Giants not responding well to adversity. And I remember, Jeff, and I'm sure you were right there, when we won our last two Super Bowls, the media destroyed the Giants, saying that we were one of the worst teams in the league and our defense was this and our quarterback was incompetent. But the Giants believed in themselves, and
sure,
they used that bad negativity and turned it into positivity and used it as motivation to perform on the field. And if this team can't do that and this team doesn't believe in themselves, it doesn't matter what our skill position players are. It doesn't matter who we play.
True.
We're not going to win a ball game.
Well, Kashawn, I think what Jenkins was referring to, I'm curious to see if Jeff agrees with me or not, is that simply by the numbers, the last 2 years the Giants have had, what, a 6-game losing streak and a 7-game losing streak? Is that accurate? I think those are the two numbers. And when you have two long losing streaks like that, Jeff, as a player, that's bouncing back from adversity. When you get down, how do you get back up quicker? Do you let yourself to continue to be dragged down? And from a veteran like Jenkins who's been through the wars, my guess is that that's what he was talking about.
I believe so. I think you're spot on with it, because you're right. You have to be able to just keep going, man. Just keep persevering to that. And, you know, if you all of a sudden throw in the towel – and you're looking around these guys, you know, you're not very happy with who's next to you. You got to trust that everyone is going to, you know, we all have the adversity. We got to come back. And I think you made a great point, is the fact that if none of those guys believe in themselves, they're not going to believe in others either. So you got to be able to have that type of, you know, camaraderie with your teammate to be able to come back from something like that. I found that this Giants team plays better when they're behind the eight ball anyways. When everybody's giving them kudos and stuff is when, to my mind, is when they just all of a sudden they don't start doing good. So that, to me, I'd rather be where the media is telling you how bad you are. That's going to give me a little bit more excitement to say, hey, you know what, we're going to prove these guys wrong.
Right, and I hope they still have that same
that
system.
Fight. So you need that fight.
I'm going to be down there next weekend.
I
leave on Friday for the Giants Cowboys game. Hopefully we come out there with a victory. I would hate to be on the plane all melancholy. I'm looking for a
melancholy
good game, and
like
I'm going to give you my season prediction. The past couple of years I've been overly optimistic, and the Giants have not done so hot. So I'm going to err on the side of pessimism this year, John, and I'm going to say 6-10, even though my heart is hoping that the results are otherwise. But let's just maybe let me do a little reverse psychology here.
All right, Kashawn, you know what? John is writing your prediction down right here. We're going to put it on the board. We're going to see.
And I'm writing err on the side of pessimism.
All right, guys, and I'll be listening. Hopefully Cruz can come back, but there's no need to rush him. I think we have a lot of wide receiver depth, and I just hope that the defense is going to be average at best. So if the Giants, again, can score 28 to 31 points a game, I think we can have a really good season, but if and only if the Giants offense can do that. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, Kashawn, have a good one.
It'll
be definitely going to be interesting. definitely going to be interesting.
There we go. All right.
You know, I mean,
Sean, you're on the board.
She's on the board. There you go, Sean. 6-10. We hope you're wrong, but that's okay. Right. Listen, it's going to be fun. I mean, this is going to be a season where if what we're talking about is going to happen, there's going to be a lot of fantasy football people that are going to be really happy with the offense scoring 35, 40 points a game. So we'll see.
Well,
you know.
Jeff's a big fantasy football guy now, too.
Who is?
You are.
Me? Oh, come on.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm only fantasy football with my kids at home. And, of course, the dad has to win, right? Because if I lose that game, that fantasy football league, then they're going to say, Jet, Dad, you know what you do for a living here? You know, with the Giants, you know nothing about football. You lost the fantasy. I'm like,
well, I could have told them that just in working with you.
But I won last year, so I have to continue to do it. So,
really? You won last year?
I did
huh?
win last year. Yeah,
wow.
I actually won. I think with one game to go, and I still was way
you
ahead
clinched,
of everybody.
Clinched, huh?
Yeah, I clinched. Yeah.
Wow. Feats.
Now I just jinxed myself.
Very
big
impressive.
Time.
Absolutely. Now, have you guys had your draft yet?
You know what? We do the automatic draft because it's hard to get all the kids together and stuff. So we just auto draft.
You're the father.
It.
You have to start laying the law down. Kids, we're getting together
listen,
now.
It's easy.
Period.
It's easy to auto draft.
Flex the fatherly muscle. Come on, Thieves.
No, I don't know, man. It gets so. I mean, a PPR league. It's just so confusing. I mean, a couple years back, we did our fantasy football league with this.
That's true.
I was horrible at that.
I mean, you
just absolutely horrendous. And you know what happened was it started taking away the time of my preparation for this stuff because I was like looking at thing and I was just so embarrassed at how bad I was doing. I'm like, I gotta start paying attention to this stuff, and it's just so hard. I don't know, it's a lot of fun. Obviously it's big and it's
it is
exciting, and I will tell you that it makes watching football a little more interesting when you're talking about guys that are on your fantasy football team. You're checking Twitter, you're like, oh wow, did he score, you know? And so it's a lot of good things. Do you play any fantasy leagues?
I do.
You do?
I
okay
do.
Yeah,
have some fun with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good time. Hey, listen, you know, I got the DraftKings.com reading now in our WFAN, right?
That's what I was trying to cue you up for when I started
one?
This
yeah.
conversation,
so, I mean,
but
listen,
it kind of went right over your head, but that's okay.
I got it back. It didn't fly away. I pulled it back in.
You did pull it back.
You know, so.
Man. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dre in Atlanta. Dre, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, Phoenix. How's everything
hey,
going?
Hey, Dre.
Good, man. How are you?
Getting ready for this season, you know.
Yep,
absolutely.
We are, too.
We're psyched.
You and me both, you know. But I had a quick question, you know. Follow me here. It seems like we got, you know, it's kind of like a carousel going on at safety. We're trying to find that perfect fit.
Yep,
so we
they
can
are.
Put a, you know, solidify, you know, safety unit out there. And it's crazy. I don't see that happening in offensive line because, as John, you said at one time, there aren't real quality offensive, you know, especially tackles out there that are, you know, can – be serviceable, you know, to bring in and replace, you know, Newhouse. I think Newhouse, if he can keep his feet and keep his sound technique, he could be serviceable to we get Beattie back. But, you know, I looked at the waiver wire. I looked at all the, you know, offensive linemen that's been waived or some that have been cut. And I don't see anybody up there through their track record that really is better than Newhouse. So I think we just need to pump our brakes. Wait for Long to get healthy, or just wait for Beattie to come back. But the bottom line is, since we've had Newhouse, you know, at right tackle, he's familiar with everybody. Let's just give him a chance.
Hey, look, Dre, here's the deal. Right now, the roster is what it is. They just cut down to 53. You're not going to see any other changes made in the next 2 days unless somebody gets cut loose that's completely unexpected elsewhere. The Giants have their roster, and you're right. They're going to war with these guys for better or worse. These are the guys on the team.
Yep, and the more they play, the more they play next to each other, the better they're going to get. So, you know, and you got to have those guys be consistently, you know, in the lineup together. Same thing at the safety position. You know, you're going to have to go with whoever those two safeties are that are going to start the season. You got to stay with those guys unless one of them is just horrible to get them out of there.
And right now, it looks like it's Landon Collins and Cooper Taylor, but Coach did say today. We'll see the competition continue. So I'm not even going to tell you who the starters are going to be on Sunday because it didn't sound like Tom Coughlin knew who they were going to be when he spoke to the media today.
Yeah, and my point is that, you know, whoever they are, they really need to just stick with them and play so they can play together and they can learn from each other.
Absolutely. What else you got, Dre?
Last one. Yeah, that's the tricky question when I said follow me. I think if Cruz is healthy to come back against Dallas, I don't see him playing any more than 12 to 20 snaps in this game. And I think just his presence alone would be a morale booster to the rest of the offense.
Yeah.
So
I think that's fair.
That was my question. And I'll just take your take on that off the line. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Dre. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I think if Cruz plays this week, I think they'll limit him a little bit. You know, leg injuries, muscle injuries, you don't want to overwork him. I think 20 snaps is probably
a he's got to get back
into
playing
number.
Shape a little bit.
You'll have Beckham and Randall be your two primaries, and he'll come in third wide receiver sets. And you know what? I think, and I didn't mention this before, Jeff, a lot of people didn't want the Giants to keep Preston Parker. I think that's one of the reasons Preston Parker's on this team. He's that slot guy that backs up Cruz who's dealing with the calf injury, and he's a core special teamer. So I think, and by the way, he's always plays. As Tom Coughlin said the other day, he plays to injury. He's always on the field. So,
right.
You know, that's one of the reasons Preston Parker's on the team. But, yeah, if Cruz is in against Dallas, it's only going to help you.
And I think you're going to find out a little bit more on Wednesday about Victor Cruz. You know, he's going to – that's the day that the game plan is implemented. They're
and
out
Beeson,
there practicing.
By the way.
And Beeson. But, you know, with Preston Parker, John, you're right. The guy plays. He's the backup punt returner. He's the backup kick returner.
He's a tough, you know what, too.
And you know he's a viable receiver, and he plays all special teams. So that type of a player is valuable. That's why he made this team. I had him. It was very close having him make the. I had him not making the team, to be honest with you. But I now that I look back on how things sorted itself out, I had James Jones making it, but. You know, I can see why they wanted to keep Preston Parker. I really do.
And I think with Cruz's injury, having that guy that can play the slot was probably a big deal. Because the other guys in this roster, Jeremy Davis is not a slot guy. Reuben Randall is not a slot guy. Dwayne Harris has done it in the past, but he's such a core special teamer. I'm not sure you want him in there a ton. So I think Parker was the logical guy, especially considering Cruz's injury. So, all right, we got two more calls. We got about 5 minutes to go. Len in Columbia, Maryland will lead us off. Leonard?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How was your Labor Day weekend, Len?
Well, everything's moving along. It's been a nice weekend. I'm glad the show is on, but I'm sorry you're working on Labor Day. I guess that's just the nature of the industry. Huh?
Well, you know what? I was lucky enough to be able to work from home on Friday, which is the first time I've ever not had to come to the office on the Friday after the final preseason game. So I'm more than happy to be here today, Len. What do you got for me?
Well, it looks like we, you know, there can't be many transactions left. It looks like at least through the first game we got our 53.
Yeah, I would hope
somehow, some way.
I think we believe we got 53 guys who can play.
But of course, Len, here's the trick. Last night I thought we had our 53 too, and then they bring up Craig Dahl for Stevie Brown.
Yeah,
so who the hell knows?
Yeah, but you know. Every transaction, I get the feeling we're getting just a little bit better.
Good.
Well, that's the goal.
And we're getting closer. I think we're getting closer to what the coaches want out of every position. And I think that second defensive tackle position with Kuhn and, you know, Ellis getting released, I think they have some idea of what they want out of that position.
Sure.
And quite frankly, I think it's a first down position.
Yeah,
I think once we get past first down, I think Steve's got enough ideas up his sleeve that the defensive line is going to change dramatically. I just see it as a first and 10 position.
Len, I think you're right. I think on those passing situations, you're going to see a lot of Jay Bromley in there, and I think you'll see a lot of Robert Ayers and Kerry Wynn in there as well. I think you'll see in passing situations and on non-short yardage run spots, I agree. I think you'll see other guys in that second defensive tackle spot next to Hankins, 100%.
You know, I'm not going to say that Steve is going to throw caution to the wind and, you know, try some crazy things, but I think he is willing to shake it up a little bit. I think he's willing to, if things aren't working in the second quarter, you know, maybe we need to change, certainly in the second half, come out with a different scheme. And at least that's my perception. I hope I'm right on that because I think we need, you know, especially into the fourth quarter, to be able to change things up and to give other teams a, you know, a different kind of look and so forth.
I think
so
that's fair.
I'm pleased Spagnuolo's there. I think, you know, Ellis, look, it was a one-year contract. It's not, you know, it's not like we were in Neiman Marcus trying to find a player. You know, it was a one-year contract. I think Nick's better fits what Spagnuolo wants out of that particular tackle position. And, geez, he came highly rated. I mean, 2 years ago, this guy was like...
Well, look who he's playing
behind.
Off
the charts by the scout. I mean, off the charts. We must have some scouting report on that guy. I just get the feeling that we were very happy to see his name on the waiver wire, I think. Although, look, he was a third-round pick. And the Giants did pass on him. They went to Bromley in the third round.
It sounds like you just walked into a haunted house, Len. What was that?
The door. I heard a door open.
Yeah, Actually, I just walked outside.
Trying to keep John and I looked at each other like, that's weird.
Trying to keep track of my granddaughter here, see where she is.
Oh, very same good. Thing. Yeah.
See, Len's multitasking. I like that.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, listen, you know, one thing, Sunday night, here's my plan. Here's my plan.
Now, what's your plan, Len?
Somehow we take Witten out of this game. I'm not talking about, you know, injure him or anything like this. I think if we can, I mean, Romo always looks to him in key situations, third down plays, things of this nature.
Absolutely.
I think we try to take Witten out of this game. You know, six catches. You know, I don't want to start doing over and under starting on 14. You know, numbers like that. I mean, if Witten,
don't
if
give
Witten
John any 10, ideas.
11, I think we're in deep trouble. Take Witten out. Take our chances, and I'm willing to do this because I think we can handle it. Take our chances with Prince and DRC on Dez Bryant, whatever side he lines up on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, but you know what, Len?
Take it from there.
But
take
then,
it from there.
And so you know what?
You know, teamwork, discipline, and Jeff.
It's gonna be tough.
Bring the hammer. Bring the hammer, Jeff.
Thank you, Len.
Okay.
Appreciate it, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Take care of that squeaky door, will you?
As good as the Giants' corners are, I don't care who your cornerback is, manning up Dez Bryant one-on-one is quite the feat.
That's quite the task.
And then if you do that, you still got to deal with Cole Beasley out of the slot, who, by the way, is one of the reasons the Giants lost to the Cowboys last year.
Oh, my goodness.
And let's not forget Gavin Escobar, who scored 3 touchdowns against the Giants.
And let's not forget about Jason Witten setting a record of 18 catches or something 2 years ago against the Giants either. He's so difficult to –
It's amazing. He's not. You look at him. You're like, how does this guy get open? He looks
he's
slow.
He's just smooth. He just knows. And you know what? Him and Romo have that connection together. It's like their sixth sense.
All right, real quick, we got to get one more caller, and he's been holding. Clarence in New Jersey. Clarence, wrap us up. What do you got?
What's up, Clarence? There we go. A little feedback.
Go ahead, Clarence.
Hey, I just want to know your guys' gut feeling on. I want to know you guys' gut feeling about. On Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, like your other call said 6-10. And do you see them returning next season if they have a 6-10 season?
The only person that knows the answer to that question is John Mara. And all Jeff and I can say is this: when John Mara spoke after the season last year, and they asked him, I forget what the exact question was. I really need to write this down. The question was basically, is this an important year for a lot of the people in the organization? And John Mara says that's
true.
It is not wrong to say that. So this team will have to be successful this year. And if they're not successful, if John Mara is still in the same mindset he was at the end of last season, I got to imagine changes would be made.
I mean, it's difficult. If you're an organization and your team is not making the playoffs consistently like this team has, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's changes inevitably in any organization are bound to happen. But, you know, we're not here to tell anybody if it's going to happen or not. But the fact is that they're lining them up against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. That's the start of it. Hopefully the Giants come away with a win and they can be 1-0 and not have to worry about anything else other than moving into the next
Yeah, Clarence,
week.
I don't want to have to start worrying about end of the season stuff now, man. Let me enjoy some football first.
We got a lot of over-unders left in us.
Thanks, Clarence.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Hey, Clarence, Clarence, here's a tip. Next time you call in, I need you to turn the computer speakers down. I need you to listen to your phone. That's the best way to do it, by the way. That's why we don't get that little.
Oh, that's what that is. See, all right, yeah, because I was getting confused there for a minute.
Well, you are easily confused.
I know, but more confused. I was hearing myself and him twice, so that's interesting.
Well,
but
fun, Feeds.
Listen, you know what? We're excited, and everybody should be. We're excited about the regular season now, and. You know, I know that there's going to be still a lot of stuff going on here in the league in the next couple of days, so hold tight. And, you know, I'll be back with you guys on Friday. And
Lance and I pulled the switcheroo. It's me and you today, and then it'll be you and Lance on Friday.
We will be there. So thank you, Johnny.
I appreciate it. Lance and I will be with you tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Mickey Spagnola, DallasCowboys.com, will join us. We'll preview Giants and Cowboys at noon tomorrow. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.